obviously, the big news yesterday was the trade of Jahan Dotson. I think everybody's still kind of reacting to that decision. You know, with a little bit of breathing room on this thing, a second-round pick for Jahan, this was a trade in the division. And I don't think that's the end of the world, but it is a trade in the division. A lot of people think that's the end of the world. If you're the person that is saying Philly traded him because they wanted our playbook, please go take a cold shower. Like, just go do something, because you're wrong and you're probably kind of dumb, frankly. Like, this is not about a playbook, okay? It was a draft pick swap. I don't believe they play until week 11. Like, this is not about a playbook. So let's just chill with that theory. Maybe, what do you call that when you put your head in the toilet and flush it? Swirly? Anybody that thinks this is playbook related, give yourself a swirly. What this was, and what is wildly clear to me at this point, the fact that they had to trade away, if this was Jahan for a third, okay. If it was Jahan for a third with the seventh round pick swaps, okay. That's them trying to make sense of their draft board. But the fact that it's Jahan and a fifth going out to get the third and the 2 sevenths back, I mean, that tells you, to me, everything you need to know. And I like Jahan. He is a nice young man. He's always been very thoughtful and professional with me. But there was a quote yesterday. We're going to play. Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt Jr. spoke yesterday at length about their offense and defense, respectively, and kind of what they're trying to build. And Cliff, it was kind of an unfortunate spot for Cliff, because the right people to address this trade are Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, right? And I doubt we get Peters, but Quinn will talk today. We'll take that live here on The Fan. And those guys could give you a more official answer. And Kingsbury, to his credit, just said he really liked Jahan. He's a good kid, wishes him well in Philly. That's kind of what everybody yesterday said. But late, and then he just kind of deferred to Quinn, everything else, which is what a coordinator should do, frankly. But what was really interesting was later in the press conference, and I don't remember who asked this, so credit to the person that asked this. Kingsbury was asked, what are the most important traits for a wide receiver, for the wide receiver room in Washington now? And Kingsbury said, it's DQ's style of play. They want to be physical and play hard without the ball. I think that's what we preach, is like, everybody's going to run routes and make catches at this level, but how do you play without the ball? I think this is a non-answer answer, man. I think they're telling you exactly kind of what perhaps the issues were with Dotson. And you combine that with, I don't know that you can trust him in the regular season. I'm not projecting. I'm not like expecting, because I've seen De'Ami Brown have awesome training camps. Like, I have watched this movie. I've seen it. I don't know that it will transfer to the regular season. Anybody that tells you they know is full of it. Nobody knows. But he's been great. And more than that, he has completely bought into everything the new organization wants. And I'm not sure that Jahan did that. I don't know if we're streaming today. I don't know where Jeff is. But I know that people were yelling at me, like somehow I'm the freaking problem with this. In the Jets game, the Jets preseason game, preseason week one, okay? Jahan Dotson caught a pass, and he kind of bobbled it in the red zone from Jeff Driskel with less than 5 minutes remaining in the second quarter of that game. And that stood out to me a lot, that Dotson, a first rounder from two seasons ago that scored 7 touchdowns as a rookie, was playing at that point. And he was catching passes from a third quarterback then, because Mariota played in that game and was still healthy at that point. It really stood out. It said a lot about how the organization was looking at everything. And then obviously a lot changed from there. You can like a guy, appreciate a guy, and not think he's a fit for your building. When you date people in your 20s and you can like each other and enjoy the time together, but realize you're not getting married and just kind of move forward. I don't know what will happen for Jahan in Philly, but I think he went to a hell of a situation where there's not going to be a ton of expectations on him. And I mean, dude, Brown, Smith, Saquon, Goddard, Hurts, they got weapons all over the place. Like, they're not going to be overly reliant on Jahan. I mean, they're asking for him to kind of be a support role. It's a great situation for Jahan. I also think a lot of people are kind of missing the boat on Lanville. We got to talk about the Brandon Ayuk stuff, right? Because Bemich even said yesterday, like, I don't think they're done. And they might not be done. It's entirely possible they are not done, okay? And maybe it's CeeDee Lamb, Larry Fitzgerald coming out of retirement, Jerry Rice coming out of retirement. I don't know. It's entirely possible they're not done. And I suppose in a way that opens the door for Brandon Ayuk, which, do people even still want him after just the nonstop continued annoyance of all this thing? But that's a different conversation. Where I continue to think he's just going to end up in San Francisco. But to be convinced that they are not done, to me, ignores the fact that they keep trying to tell you, yo, this is going to be a long-term rebuild. We are going, what Dan Quinn likes to say, recalibration. That's cool. Peters has made no mistake about this. Yo, like, Peters and Dan Quinn, they're not renting homes. They bought houses. This is a long-term thing. And the insinuation that, okay, they traded Jahan, they know that their wide receiver room is suspect, they've got to do something, it was suspect with Jahan. There were a ton of questions about what they had at wideout with Jahan, let alone now without him. But when they had Jahan, everybody was convinced that, oh, they don't need to make a move, or they might not make a move. And now without Jahan, it's like, oh, you've got to. I think that's crazy. Jahan last year had 49 catches for 518 yards and a top 10 drop rate in the NFL. Like, everybody's convinced now that that is removed from your offense. Oh, now they got to make a move? I don't get that. With him here, the group, I know somebody ranked him, what, top 20, Lanville? I think that's largely on the strength of who Terry McLaurin is, frankly. You've got Terry, who has produced in the unlikeliest of circumstances, considering the quarterbacks that have been here. And I just think fans don't want to hear this, especially as we get close to the regular season, close to the opener. And what we've seen from Jaden Daniels has been pretty damn exciting, acknowledging that it's preseason and they haven't shown a whole lot. And he's probably not going up against, you know, a whole lot of stud, top flight defensive players. Like, a lot of guys have been sitting, but Daniels looks awesome. So all of a sudden, I think the fan base wants to, hey man, let's win now. Let's win now. It's like there hasn't really been a taste of it, but watching the young quarterback, you get so excited, and it's like they got the itch. Like there's a drug and they want more of it, right? Peters is not here for the sugar high. Like, he's here to build a long-term, sustainable playoff winner. Go look at San Fran, dude. I think they won 10 games the first 2 years, Peters and Lynch and Kyle were out there. Like, it was not good. And then they traded for Garoppolo, and things kind of improved. I mean, the first 2 years in San Francisco, they went 6-10 and 4-12. Year three, they went to the Super Bowl. Like, that's what they're trying to build. And I think getting the extra third isn't a lot. It's not. It's great to get a top 100 pick, but to have to give up a first rounder, to have to give up a first rounder for a third, okay. To have to give up a first rounder and send a fifth is just crazy. And I think there's a message here that there's some wishful thinking. Like, okay, well, they're going to now make a subsequent move. I'm not so sure they are. I think they understand the situation they're in. Their defense, Washington's defense last year, ranked absolute dead last. Pick up any sort of real statistic you want to look at, man. They were bad. They were very, very bad. And maybe they'll be better. Maybe they're better coaching. You add Bobby Wagner, that sure can't hurt. Jeremy Chin, good piece in the secondary, perhaps. But, like, is anybody expecting a significant jump defensively? Because I'm not. You were dead last. Maybe you get to 24th. You could move up an entire tier, right? Like, if you break the NFL into thirds, they could get into the bottom of the second tier, and it would be massive improvement. And they'd still be 23rd in the NFL defensively. Like, this is going to be a lean season, and I think the implication that, like, the implication that, oh, well, now they're going to go make a move. They weren't making a move when they had Dotson. Like, if you're making moves is to try to win, right? When they had Dotson, they weren't making a move. So I just think that is a overly ambitious, not entirely realistic version of events. I also think it's fair to be skeptical of this wide receiver room. Zacchaeus and Brown last year combined for 22 catches, right? Like, 22 catches combined. I feel like CeeDee Lamb had games last year where he caught 15 on his own. There are reasons for skepticism. I do think Luke McCaffrey is a factor in all this, and how he is kind of emerging over time. This preseason training camp, big, long guy. But I think McCaffrey and Sinnott end up being much bigger pieces kind of as the season rolls on. I don't know that they start that way. There are real reasons for questions with this wide receiver room. I have watched Deami Brown have great preseasons, great training camps, and then it doesn't translate. But to me, if Jaden is the guy, and in Cliff's offense, what I have watched day after day, they're going to spread it around. I think Jaden spreads it around. I think the offense is designed to spread it around. I think Zach Ertz could be a huge factor in this. I think Austin Eckler could be a huge factor in this. Like, just because there's only, I guess now there's not a single first-round draft pick in the receiver room, right? And losing Dotson, who can play, it doesn't help you. But Dotson had 500 yards last season. People are acting like DK Metcalf just got traded or something. You know what I mean? Like, and it's, I just think this is a real reminder to view this in a very long prism, because that is how Adam Peters is viewing it. And that doesn't help you, the folks that are geeked up to put their jersey on week one when they go down to Tampa. Like, losing Dotson for next year's third doesn't help you. But what I applaud from this regime is, one, they didn't just hold on to a guy that didn't fit for them because he was a first rounder. Like, you're much better off cutting bait, right? Now it's a lot easier in a league of self-preservation to cut bait with somebody else's first rounder. If we get 2 years from now and we still haven't seen anything from Johnny Newton or something, I think these guys will handle it differently because that was their guy. But I appreciate the decisiveness and just the plan of action. But I think we got to be reminded of how Peters talked about this when he got the job, right? And he don't care that much about what Brandon Ayuk does on social media. I do think we got to chill. I don't think these guys are expecting to win significantly this year. And that's why they don't care if they trade to Philly or if they don't add more receivers.